me for something nice?" A confused memory of his very recent past floated across his mind, and he experienced a brief moment of regret that Potatoes, while uppermost in his mind at that point, had not been similarly positioned in the mind of the young lady. No one dressed like that, he was coming to realise, could be thinking of any kind of root vegetable. He sighed. "All right. What happens now?" "How do you feel?" Rincewind shook his head. "It's no good," he said. "I hate it when people are nice to me. It means something bad is going to happen. You mind shouting?" Ridcully had had enough. "Get out of that bed, you horrible little man, and follow me this minute, or it will go very hard for you." "Ah, that's better. I feel right at home now. Now we're cooking with charcoal," said Rincewind glumly. He swung his legs off the bed and stood up carefully. Ridcully stopped halfway to the door where the other wizards had lined up. "Runes?"
"Yes, Arch-Chancellor," said the lecturer in recent runes, his voice oozing innocence.
"What is that you've got behind your back?"
"Sorry, Arch-Chancellor," said the lecturer in recent runes.
"Looks like some kind of tool," said Ridcully.
"Oh, this," said the lecturer in recent runes, as if he'd only just at that moment noticed the 8-pound lump hammer he'd been holding.
"My word, it's a hammer, isn't it? My word, a hammer. I suppose I must have picked it up somewhere, you know, to keep the place tidy."
"And I can't help noticing," said Ridcully, "that the Dean seems to be trying to conceal a battle axe about his person."
There was a musical twang from the rear of the chair of indefinite studies.
"And that sounded like a saw to me," said Ridcully. "Is there anyone here not concealing some kind of implement?"
"Right. Would anyone care to explain what the hell you think you're doing?"
"You don't know what it was like," muttered the Dean, not meeting the Arch-Chancellor's eye. "A man daren't turn his back for 5 minutes in those days. You'd hear the patter of the...
And I'm afraid that... Couldn't you just send me back to my island? I liked it there. It was dull."
Ridcully shook his head sadly.
"No can do, I'm afraid. The offence has been committed over a period of many years, and since you haven't passed any exams, or performed," Ridcully raised his voice slightly, "any service of great benefit to magic, I am afraid I shall have to instruct the Bledlows to fetch some rope and..."
Bledlows, the UU College porters, renowned among the entire faculty for the hardness of their skulls, their obtuseness in the face of reasonable explanation, and their deeply held conviction that the whole place would collapse without them.
I think I may have saved the world a couple of times," said Rincewind. "Does that help?"
"Did anyone from the university see you do it?"
"No, I don't think so." Ridcully shook his head.
"Probably doesn't count then. It's a shame, because if you had
performed any service of great benefit to magic, then I'd be happy to let you keep that hat and, of course, something to wear it on."
Rincewind looked crestfallen. Ridcully sighed and had one last try.
"So," he said, "since it seems that you haven't actually passed your exams or performed a service of great benefit to magic..."
"Well, I suppose I could try to perform some great service," said Rincewind, with the expression of one who knows that the light at the end of the tunnel is an oncoming train.
"Really? Oh, well, well, that's definitely a thought," said Ridcully.
"What sort of services are they?"
"Oh, typically you'd be expected to, for the sake of example, go on a quest. Or find the answer to some very ancient and important question. What the hell is that thing with all the legs?"
Rincewind didn't even bother to look around. The expression on Ridcully's face, as it stared over his shoulder, was quite familiar.
"Ah," he said. "I think I know that one."
End of CD 1.